Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So many of you will know that it is important to us here at St. Nicholas to keep the feast, as we say, where we celebrate and make a big deal out of the different seasons of feasting and fasting that happens in the life of our church. And part of the reason for that, it isn't just because the church has always done it, though there's an importance to that, but it has something to do with much like maybe the family traditions that you have in our home, is that as you come to be a part of these seasons of feasting and fasting, you come to love them. They come to change your heart, and you're able to know things deep inside you that you can't learn in a classroom, the sorts of things that you can only learn around a table or with other people. And it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter whether you're sick or not, it doesn't matter whether you have any kind of disability, you get to be a part of what's going on in the family of God, and the work of the Spirit gets to happen to you. That's why we do these things together. And part of that for us every year has been to mark a lesser feast in the calendar, and that is St. Nicholas's feast day. Not only because St. Nicholas is the patron saint of this church, but also because it happens at the new year. Advent is the beginning of the church calendar, and so it's become an important time in the life of our church to be able to reset, much like many of you will have family come in and be able to see them. The new year will be coming in January, to look forward to all the things that we hope for, and to give thanks and to pay attention to and to discern all the things that God is doing in the life of our church. And so for the last couple of years, we have done that on December the 6th, which is St. Nicholas Day officially. But today we decided to talk about it on that Sunday so that more people could come and take part in that with us. And so today we're going to try to fit in our hopes for the life of our church into the hope of Advent that is preached about in the readings this morning. And during this season, hope, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that are not seen, is given as an example, of course, of waiting for a child. When you are pregnant, or your spouse is pregnant, you're waiting for a baby to come. There's not much that you can see, though signs do come slowly but surely. And it is, in fact, impossible to imagine what your life is going to be like when this child comes into the world and how your life is going to change. And it is filled, of course, with all kinds of excitement and preparation. There's no escaping the bad habits that you've had in all the years to come. You're going to carry them with them. And yet you're going to be praying and hoping and relying on other people to save you, to get you through this new life that you're going to have together as a family. And that work ends up being the work of a lifetime, right? Thankfully, it doesn't happen right when our children are born or when we were born for our parents. But we get a lot of time to say that we're sorry. We get a lot of time to learn and to grow, to build different kinds of habits and practices of feasts and fasting and traditions that shape our hearts to be full of love. And it is, in fact, those things that we do together that create a real kind of intimacy and delight when we do them faithfully and when we do repent together, despite all the ways that we get it wrong. Baptism is like this in the family of God. The baptism that John is talking about is the sacrament of initiation and of entrance into the family of God. It is the way that we, Paul will say later, become adopted as sons and daughters. And so during this season as John is waiting in the wilderness. He's calling out to his people to prepare for this new birth to take place. That John will say later to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so he's talking about being children of Abraham, what it means to be a part of the family of God and to take on and put on those habits and practices, the covenant of grace that God has given to Israel in the Ten Commandments and the word of instruction and of guidance that he has given to Israel in the prophets. And he's telling everyone, but certainly he's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees to pay attention to those things and to really take part in it. That to prepare for the new life to come that God is doing in the family of the church is to participate in the work of God through the prophets and in the work of baptism. He says, so don't presume that you know what this life already looks like. Don't just say, well, if you're a Pharisee, right? Well, I'm just a child of Abraham, and so I, you know, get to have all the benefits of being a part of the children of God without having to put on any of those habits, without having to make any of those sacrifices, without having to come to Christmas dinner. Well, I'm just a part of the family anyway. John the Baptist is saying, not so fast. Saying the family of God, it doesn't quite grow and change in that way. It isn't about being born, but about being born again. About conversion, about faith, about hope. And that conversion, the fruits of faith, hope, and love, come about not by our own entitlement or even our own successes. They come about by repentance. They come about by saying, I'm sorry. They come about by turning away and coming back home to our family and loving them. We're not meant to presume that we know what God is doing in our life or that we have everything that we need, but to recognize that it is the grace of God that makes our family life as the church together different. That the life that we live together in word and sacrament and feasting and fasting is itself a gift. It's not something that we made up. It's something that is handed down to us. And that it is through the reception of that gift, the participation in God's mission, that God's power works in us, that the fire begins to burn hotter and deeper, that as we spend more time loving God and loving each other, we actually come to know more about what it means to love God and to love each other. And strangely, to not take it for granted, but to depend on it and to rely on it more and more by word and sacrament and in prayer. And in Israel's life, the wilderness has always been the place where Israel deepened its faith and its hope. In the desert and in the wilderness, in the midst of the fire, was always the place where Israel depended more on God and came to be changed, converted in itself through its own repentance. And I have wondered in the life of our own church if the last, especially 5 years, has been like that for us. If you haven't been here, that it has been a bit of a wilderness time in the life of this church, where we have had to wonder what it is that God is doing in our lives and to depend on him, to hope on his grace that he has given us this life. And we have leaned in to seasons of feasting and fasting, in part because we didn't quite know what else to do, but we knew that this was the life that God had given us. And so if we were to be faithful to that and take part in that and be faithful in our worship and in our prayers, that God would give us a new kind of life, that we couldn't have made for ourselves. We stopped trying to presume what it meant to be a church, not just any church, but this church, in this neighborhood, in this town, with these people, and to try to open ourselves up to the Spirit, to the fire of what God might be doing in us. And that this work together over the last 5 years, especially over the last 2.5 years while I've been here, that this work of repentance, and we have done a lot of that, we have said I'm sorry a lot to one another, has helped us, in fact, to come into our own as a church, to put our feet more firmly on the ground in the assurance of the hope that God is, in fact, doing something in this place. And that faithfulness does lead to joy and peace. We've come to judge the life of our church, not necessarily by the things that we see for our eyes, but by the things that God is doing in our hearts and in one another. And it is through this work that I think that we have learned to see and to become a church that makes a home in hope. And that home and hope has actually made us a kind of church that is particularly fitting and a gracious sort of refuge for those that have been spiritually homeless, that have never quite found their place in a church for various reasons, for one way or another, but have been longing for that intimacy and that love and that delight to be a part of their life, to put their feet on the ground because they need it just as much as we do and have come through these doors as an answer to their own prayers. Some of you are those people. Some of you were that 20 years ago. Some of you have been that over the last 5 years. And so we have come really to know and to rely on the fact that the fruits of what it means to be a faithful church have very little to do with how many people even are in the church or how much money the church has. But in fact, the fruits are the fruits of the Spirit, of hope and joy and peace, and faithfulness, kindness. And that the practices that we have come to take on for ourselves of communion and of companionship, of compassion, that these kinds of habits and practices of love are the sorts of thing that have made our house a home, that have made our church a place where we belong, that have enabled us to make sacrifices for one another, to listen and to learn, and to encounter the grace of God in a way that we didn't know was possible. And that this, over the last number of years, has brought us closer together, that we have come to see a different kind of life, so long as we continue to look and to fix our eyes on Jesus. The image of fruitfulness that is given in the Gospels this morning, of baptism as people come into the family of God, is that they become a part of this giant tree where the root is Jesse. And Jesse is, of course, David's father. David, the shepherd David, who was both the king and priest of Israel, and the sign of the Messiah to come. And that this creates, I want to suggest to you, a kind of family tree, where the roots that we have together are the roots in our connection with one another by the grace of God. And as God and God's grace holds us together, then the fruits that come out generate not only in our lives, but in the ways in which we share these with one another. And this goes over perfectly with what we have talked about over the last couple of years in relation to the mission and vision of our church, of what it means to abide in Christ. That language also comes from a tree in John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches, that apart from me, you can do nothing." That when we are baptized, that we are baptized into Christ and into the family of God, who shows us a new life by grace and through faith, for and in and with us. And as we stay in that place, as we come home and remain there with one another, faithfully and hopefully, that it is the grace and the Spirit of God that changes us, informs us, and makes us into a real home, a household of the people of God. That the abiding covenantal love of God that is won on the cross and made unbroken in resurrection actually deepens and it fills us up with the truth and love of God that then we share with one another as we receive it and take part in it. That for us to be born again isn't just an individual salvation of souls. It is the hope of Christ for the whole world to go as it is and as it should be. That we as children and parents may not know what to do in our lives, but we are learning together how to do it by grace. That we are able to walk the road of hope not alone, but together, for better or worse. And that we are able to depend on God by depending on one another and then to receive that, not as a sign of weakness, but as a sign of hope and of faith and of the grace of God. That our returning again and again, our keeping in repentance, is what makes the fruit of our lives flourish and helps us to become who we really are. That it is God's wisdom and God's grace, that it is a delight in the fear of God, that it is as we remember and remind ourselves that it is God that has brought us here and God that has brought us together and Christ who saves us and forgives us and makes us one, that the fruit that is in keeping with repentance welcomes us into that life so that we then can welcome one another and become a rare kind of church, one that prizes unity and holiness together, not one with the exception of the other. When I gave this talk, for the first time a couple of years ago, I remember saying and did say that part of what we envisioned, of what it meant to hope that beauty would rise up out of broken places, is that people would come to this place and they would encounter God. They would say, "You should come to St. Nicholas because God is there and something is happening." And what I want you to know is that of all the things that I have looked back on and am reminded of this year, that that is something that is in fact happening. People tell me that, like more than once during the course of the year, that they have been surprised by the way in which God is here and is doing a work in them and in this place. They aren't quite sure where it leads to, but they want to learn more about what it means. And so we should be encouraged by the work that the Spirit is doing in our life and in your life. And I want you just to remember that, to think about the things that God is doing in your life and has given them to you as a gift, and to recognize that the real work of faith and of hope is simply to keep going, to not get distracted by all the other things as more things happen and fruit grows and we get other decisions about all sorts of things, attendance and buildings and money and whatever else. That the real prize, the real fruit is happening in our hearts and in our lives by the grace of God. And that when people come here, though they don't always know that we are here, when they come here, they see it. And you see it too. And then as we walk into our life together for the next year, that it is really important for us to remember that. Because we are going to take on, I think, I hope, I'm planning on, at least a little bit, to have some new projects. And to think we will probably have some more money next year. And we're gonna have to figure out what we're gonna do with that. And I have really wrestled and struggled with how that kind of gift can get us distracted, and to think that our hope for this place is in the amount of money that we have, and it's in building upgrades, and it's in getting more people, and all those sorts of things. But that isn't true. I mean, it is part of it, but it isn't the heart of it, certainly. And it is only a small part of it. That our task is to fulfill our calling to abide in Christ and to accompany those who are weak, who are homeless, as Christ has accompanied us as friends. To look for the hope of new creation and of new birth and the fruits of the Spirit by putting on the regular practices of the church, of communion and of hospitality and of discipleship, of peacemaking. And that this work will do immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine. That our ministry, our task, is to live lives that are worthy of the gospel by letting the roots of grace deepen in our lives and in the life of this church, and to not be distracted by that, but to know that every good thing comes out of that. That there is a fire and faithfulness, that we have a calling to do the work of evangelists, to participate in the mission of God by living out our baptism, so that we can see others baptized too, and to live a radical hope for the life of the world. Because just as we need these roots, and I need these roots, for our own families and our own children's and our own children and our own friends, our neighbors really need them too. They're looking for a fire to burn inside of them. They're longing for the Spirit of God to be real, for a church to be real, for unity and holiness to come together by grace and to pass it down through generations. And we have seen that we have the resources for those things, but those resources are not, in fact, material. They are sacramental. They are gracious. And they are a gift. And to receive them will mean for us more sacrifice and more mistakes and more opportunities to say that we're sorry. We will have to continue to repent and to change course and to have bad sermons and good days. But we can see that all of that work together, that living out that radical hope, really does lead to an intimacy and a love and a joy and a peace that is unmatched. So let us all let the child of David lead us and bring us into his own home, so that we who are sojourners and receive that life by grace can be at home with God and to invite the world into his blessed kingdom. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.